Thanks, Shane. Thank you very much.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Wash your hands.
Good afternoon. How are you on this Monday afternoon? 51551, as always, for your texts, or ray@rte.ie for your emails. Thanks so much to Catherine for sitting in this particular chair for the last week. Usually when you come back, you know, it'll be, did you go anywhere nice? Did you go anywhere nice? That sort of annoys you a little bit now, doesn't it? Well, yeah, I did discover a new laneway that I didn't know existed in my 5K, within my 5K radius. That's what's happening. People are finding out things about their neighbourhood, their localities that they've never discovered before. I have to say, and compared to what people are going through, this is a tiny, tiny, minuscule little complaint. But, you know, having holidays and been stuck at home, it's not great, is it? It's not perfect. It's not perfect at all. And I had all sorts of plans to do. I was going to cut the grass. No, I rang a man the other day to cut the grass. Okay, I'll fix the wood out the front. No, I think we should get a professional to do that. So then I was, you know, because you need to be doing something with your hands as a man. It's manly stuff. Something involving hammers and nails and saws and lawnmowers and getting dirty and all that sort of thing. So what do you do then? What do you do? You're emasculated. An emasculated man sitting at home, nothing to do. And then I turned my attention to the room. Do you know that room, if you're lucky enough to have a spare room in the house, where everything's put, all the stuff, you know, the IKEA stuff that needs to be returned but can't be returned until they open after lockdown. You know, the wine that you got, you know, thought it was a good bargain, and then you drank the first bottle and discovered that wasn't that nice at all, and that's sitting there as well. There's a suitcase full of videotapes. There was a cardboard cutout of me. I'd love to get rid of it. Jenny won't let me. I was going to cut it up and burn it. She wouldn't let me do that. So turn the attention to that. And that, at least that fulfills something. You need to be doing something, don't you? Well, that's me. What you do in your holidays? Well, I need to be doing something on my holidays. Anyway, it's good to be back. Good to be back at work. How are you? 51551, ray@rte.ie. I might have told you about the wishing tree. In UCD a few weeks ago. I don't know if you remember that, but it's a beautiful thing. It's a scrawny enough tree, but somebody has put a bag full of ribbons, multicoloured ribbons, and you're encouraged through a little A4 sign to tie a ribbon around the scrawny tree. And I didn't know this when I did it, but you're supposed to write on it as well, your wish. I thought that if you did that, you'd make it public and it wouldn't come true. Anyways, a lot of people have written. And Jenny has examined various ones, and she was telling me the other day when she looked at them, because it's in UCD, good exam results came up a couple of times. Family safe was a nice one, you know, that we'd all be safe the other side of this thing. And then she's looking through them, and this is the one that caught her attention. Hot beach bod for the summer. That was on the wishing tree. That was on the wishing tree. Niamh was coming in today. She spotted a similar thing. It's not a wishing tree, but it's a sign, an A4 sign again. Take a smile. And it's bubble writing, yes. Do you know when you're about 7 or 8 and you discover you can do bubble writing and everything is in bubble writing? Anyway, take a smile. And then, do you know the way they put the signs up in the local supermarket and you can rip off the telephone number? Well, instead of the telephone number, there are multicoloured smiles that you can take. And Niamh brought me in a little purple smile. Thanks very much, Niamh. And that put a smile on my face. That's lovely. Smiley. Did you hear about Alba? Alba is the new baby for Erica and Antoine Griezmann. He's a French footballer and he plays for Barcelona as well. If you follow football, you'll know his name. He's one of the top flight footballers. Anyway, the reason his new baby is attracting so much attention, she was born on April the 8th, as was her, is it, brother, sister, Amar, born on April the 8th, 2019, and Mia, little sister, bigger sister, I should say, April 8th, 2016. So three children in the same family, all born on the same day, but years apart, which is spectacular. But there's still a bit of work to go if they want to get into the Guinness World Records, because Carolyn and Ralph Cummins, who are Americans, they had five children born on the 20th of February between 1952 and 1966. And the odds of that happening, listen to the odds of that happening, 17.8 billion to one. So it happens one in 17.8 billion times. That's mad, isn't it? I'm wondering, is has your family got a claim to fame when it comes to people been born on the same day or twins or triplets or anything like that? Any family records that you have that might be suitable for the Guinness Book of World Records, do let us know. 51551ray@rte.ie. I don't know if you were watching The Burren last night, the documentary. It was on at 6:30 on RT1. It was outstanding. It was beautiful. It was informative. It was very, very Irish. It didn't try to ape those BBC wildlife documentaries. There was something very Irish and very beautiful about it. The music, the presenters, the scenery, beautifully shot and directed. Katrina Costello is the director. Just amazing. There was one shot there where there was a farmer, I can't remember his name, but he was herding sheep. They do this in the Burren where they have to bring the sheep up to higher ground for winter. Yeah, it's counterintuitive. They bring the cattle up to higher ground for winter and then back down for summer, where usually it would be the opposite. Anyway, there's this scene where he's herding the cattle and they're in a long line and they're on the horizon, and below them you have the Rock of the Burren, the limestone Rock of the Burren, and above them you have this amazing blue sky. And it's like, if you saw it in a movie, you'd stop in your tracks and go, that's beautiful, that's amazing. Pause it there so we can look at it. It's like a painting. And there was loads of stuff like that. And then there was the cuteness of the little kid goats, the feral goats who live in the Burren, and their little white kid goats as they sort of come to terms with the earth and fumble around the place and find their feet, literally. And then the cuckoo. And again, a lady was introducing us to the cuckoo and their mean behaviour, which we'll get in a moment. But I was saying, I've never seen a cuckoo. And then, as if she heard me, she said, do you know, a lot of people haven't seen the cuckoo. And she's an ecologist and she hadn't seen a cuckoo until she was 30. But there it was in all its glory. It's a big bird. It's a big bird. Big tail feathers, big wings. And then, of course, the story about the cuckoo, and they're interlopers into somebody else's nest. And then somebody else feeds their young. But the odd thing is that the bird who was feeding the young was about half the size. The adult bird was half the size of the little chick. The little cuckoo. And the cuckoo sound, of course. And you had all those lovely nature sounds from the Burren and beautiful music as well. I don't know who composed the score for it, but if you haven't seen it, watch it on the player, The Burren. And there's a little bit of voiceover by Brendan Gleeson as well. There's the cuckoo, cuckoo at the end, yeah. And it's back on next week at 6:30. Amazing. Sad to see the death of Lee Dunn over the weekend. He wrote that book which sold over a million, Goodbye to the Hill. It was a memoir, and then it was made into a play, and I think the play was brought to America as well. He died over the weekend. He was also the man who brought us Harbour Hotel.
Room service.
Come in.
Good morning, madam. Breakfast is served.
I hope it's better than the dinner was last night.
Anything to remind us of being served by somebody else in a hospitality setting, a hotel, B&B, guest house, anything. That was a clip from Harbour Hotel, which ran from 1975 through to, I don't know, doesn't say here, but there were 2000 episodes of it, and I went on at lunchtime on RT1. It ran until 1990, and people of a certain age will get sort of the shivers there listening to that, because they'll be remembering coming home to get their lunch and going back to school after it. You'd be running in the door, what's for lunch, ma? And that'd be playing in the background, and she'd say the same you get every Friday or Saturday or whatever day it was. It wouldn't be Saturday because you weren't at school. Anyway, may you rest in peace, Lee Dunn. And of course, Shea Healy. I was very sad to hear about the death of Shea Healy. Just one of those unique individuals was Shea. And when you look at his CV, it was so varied. You know, Eurovision, obviously. Nighthawks, obviously. He wrote a musical, if not musicals. He wrote children's books, recorded children's songs. And just a lovely man to be around. Great company. So back in the day, 1988, when I started in RTE, Nighthawks was starting, and we ended up sitting at the same table in the RTE canteen a good few times and chatting away. And he was just interested and interesting, if you know what I mean. Sad to see him go. Nighthawks was something that never happened again. I was watching a clip there, which I'm going to play a bit of audio from it. But for those of you who never saw it, it was live, right? Live. It was in a cafe, but it was real, like, I know it was a set because I was, for some reason, I was either on it or looking in on it one evening when everything was happening. But there was drinks served. People were smoking because it was before the smoking ban. So people were getting drunk and people were doing what they do in a cafe, but it was been shot for television and Shea was in the middle of it as the owner and interviewing people. And on this particular occasion, the clip you're about to hear, it was the night when Ireland qualified for the World Cup. It would have been 1990, I suppose. 1990 could have been, yeah. And he has Johnny Giles and Eamon Dunphy at the table. And the lads are very happy about the fact that Ireland have qualified for the World Cup. And Shea is chatting away to them.
Can I make up to you tonight, John?
Yeah,
I'll ask you to sing here tonight.
Yeah,
There you go. The Nighthawks Male Choir. Eamon Dunphy, John Giles, and the late Shea Healy. And Shea was a great songwriter. You know, he wrote What's Another Year and all that. But he, when Dimta, his wife, died in 2017, he wrote a song in her memory. And I heard it this morning. I don't think I'd ever heard it before. Shea played it at the end of the programme just before Morning Ireland this morning after he gave a lovely, warm tribute, paid a lovely, warm tribute to Shea Healy. And it's so poignant now that Shea has left us. I'll just play a little clip of it, the song that Shea wrote after his wife Dimna died in 2017.
When my life is over, I'll become a bit of stardust out there in the heavens, out beyond the blue. And if you want to see me, just look into the night sky. You will see me shining, winking down at you.
The late, lovely Shea Healy, may he rest in peace. Now, 51551, we got a great surprise within our 5K the last day in our part of Donegal when we saw six deer just a few feet away from us. They stayed still and looked at us too. They went off, made our day, says Mo. Well, we can go all around our counties now and you can go 20K, which could bring you outside your county. Like I could get to Wicklow. Probably nowhere else. Could I get to anywhere else? No. Probably wouldn't get there anywhere else. Wicklow, I can go to Wicklow. Antoine Griezmann scored in the World Cup final 9 months nearly to the day before the 8th of April 2019. My maths. Everyone's trying to figure that out, what happened 9 months beforehand. And it strikes me that the season was probably finished. The football season probably finished. And he was on R&R. What's that? Rest and recreation. I had baby same day as my sister, half an hour between them. We were the talk of the hospital 9 months on from New Year's Eve. The twins went, are in first year and now and went back to school today. Oh, great. So everybody's back at school, which is brilliant for all concerned. Myself and my sister A are a year to the day, both born on the same day, but exactly a year apart. How's that for Irish twins? Well, that's quite exact when it comes to Irish twins, Aisling. My daughter was born on my twin son's fifth birthday. They asked for a baby sister. None of them were due on the day they were born, says Fionnuala. My brother, my dad and my granny were all born on March 4th, three generations. Also, my mum lost her firstborn on the same date. My wife Fiona, birthday 29th of February, same as her granny Kelly, 29th of February from Brenda Downey. How you doing, Brenda and Yuri? And there are three sisters in my family, each of us born on the 26th of the month, Pauline, Newport, County Mayo. And Mick says, when the team from Harbour Hotel played at the end, it was time to run for the bus back to school. Oh, you had a bus back to school? Is that the way it worked down the country? I figured it that we, I think we were about a mile from between the school and the house and we used to go home for lunch. So you'd walk to school, that was a mile, then you come home for lunch, another mile, back to lunch, another mile, and back home in the evening. So 4 miles before you did anything. And then there was running around the playground. So you were getting a lot of exercise in there back in the day. You didn't even have to think about it. 51551 Ray at RTE.ie. Good afternoon. Declan O'Rourke, The Harbour, from his new album Arrivals. And I see he's launching that in the Abbey Theatre on Wednesday evening, and he's streaming the concert stroke launch live, and you can go to Abbey Theatre if you want to get tickets for that. That's going to be a good night at home on your couch, tuned in to Declan O'Rourke launching his new album, Arrivals. That's beautiful, that is, produced by Paul Weller. Now, my children were born 9th of the 9th, 11th of the 11th, 1st of the 1st. Not born on due date, and naturally, thankfully, take care, Jane Fallon from Kilkenny. So the 9th of the 9th, 11th of the 11th, 1st of the 1st. Wow. Just went into Google Maps to see how far we walked to school, and it was 1.1 kilometres. Like you, we came home for lunch, and when Harbour Hotel music started, it was time to change out your books for afternoon classes and head back to school. Oh, you did that, did you? Right. My mother's daughter, granddaughter and great-granddaughter were all born on the 9th of April. What are the odds of that? I don't know, Tony. Is the honest answer? I don't know. My mother had myself and my twin sister on her birthday. She had no idea she was having twins until the second twin made my entrance into the world. Kind regards, Anne. That couldn't happen these days, could it? Because with all the scans and everything. Imagine going through the whole pregnancy. Oh, you're very big. And, oh, yeah, you're a lot of movement there. Next thing, you get one daughter and then you get a bonus daughter. That's great stuff. Ursula's been on a sad day for Ireland with the passing of Shea Healy. He brought much joy into our lives over the years. You're a similar age to myself. Could you tell me if this memory of mine is a figment of my imagination? I remember Shea Healy in a daytime children's show in the late 70s called Hullabaloo, with a number of other characters, among who were the duo Tom and Pascal. None of my friends recall this programme, and I don't see a mention of it anywhere. Was I dreaming? Is it a figment of my imagination? I remember really enjoying it. Ursula, Ballinagh, County Mayo. Well, I have no memory of Hullabaloo, Ursula. 1977, I was 13. I was out chasing girls or doing something like that. I can't remember exactly what I was doing, playing sports. But I looked it up on the internet thingamajig, and there it is, a picture from 1977 of Marion Richardson. He used to present playback and also Bosco. And behind her, skulking around with a big smile on his face, is none other than Shea Healy. So your memory is still intact, Ursula, in Ballinagh and County Mayo, and Hullabaloo did exist and Shea Healy did present it. Now, where is my thing gone? You see, you go away and they take your thing. So it's underneath the red. There it is. Yes. Hey, in white. Yes, it's our quiz of today, the 12th of April. And as you know by now, cobbled together 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years. It's sort of a mini reeling in the years every day for you. And a chance to win a prize. From the Dillon, 5-star luxury boutique hotel, a magical place where guests can relax in the plush, stylish surrounds of the Ruby Room with its extensive cocktail menu, or dine inside or out in the stylish Edison and Nursery terraces. The prize is an overnight stay for two people in a luxury double room and is inclusive of a full Irish breakfast in the Edison restaurant. So dillon.ie for more information. And if you want to be given a chance to win the prize, you have to answer a qualifying question, which is this. Can you name the Irish jockey who was the first female jockey to win the Grand National in its 182-year history? Yippee! Go on! 1850-715-900. 1850-715-900. And we could be talking to you after 4 o'clock. Good luck with that.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There you go. Now, 51551 or ray@rte.ie. We'll stop that there. John Nallan is a name you may not know, but you probably heard him and saw him over the weekend. John trained the Grand National winner Manella Times when he raced in Point to Point as a young horse. On Saturday, a video of John watching his former pupil, that's Manella Tynes, been ridden to glory by fellow Tipperary woman Rachel Blackmore. Into the history book she went. And so too was John when his video went viral. How are you doing, John?
Great, Ray, great. Still on a high.
I'd say you are.
Yeah, unbelievable.
It is unbelievable for so many reasons. You're an integral part of the story. Before we get to the video, John, tell us about yourself. You're a hotel owner from Clonmel.
Yeah. We run Hotel Manella and Clonmel, a family business set up in 1961, and we raise national hunt horses as well, then raise foals. We buy foals every year, raise them, produce them pint of pints.
Right.
And sell them on then, and that's the...
Okay.
We won the World Cup. It's like Cheltenham this year was like Italia 90, but last Saturday was like Italia 90 coming home after winning the Gold Cup.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable.
It is. And for Rachel Blackmore, what a talent. And we'll talk about Rachel more in a minute. But so you would have trained horses way back, and then you got into buying them and selling them on at a young age. Is that it?
Yeah, well, family always had horses. We'd always wear some horses and run them, and we ran a good lot of horses with the late Joe Crowley and with Aidan O'Brien,
right.
In the 80s, and we had good horses. And,
yeah.
But Manila Lad, Manila Man, Hotel Manila, they were all grade one horses.
Where does the name Manila come from, John?
It was name of the house originally. When my parents bought the house, my father sold the greyhound in 1961. He bought the house, and the name of the house was Manila.
Aha.
And it turned it into a hotel.
How much did he sell the greyhound for?
He sold the greyhound for £5,000 at the time, and he bought the house for £5,000.
Jeez, it must have been a great greyhound, was it?
Yeah, it was unbelievable, yeah. Must have been like, you do the sums back. You do the sums back, so there's a lot of money then.
Yeah.
Then.
So you obviously have a talent for spotting a diamond in the rough, I saw you quoted as saying.
You go up to the sales show and you just go through them and see, and they'll just, you know, okay, you study the pedigrees and you study everything, and then you go along and just look at the stock, and just like anything you're buying to sell, like the day you buy is the day you sell, whether it's potatoes or heads of cabbage or horses or cattle or whatever. what you buy is what you have to sell, so you have to have it right.
Fair enough. But is there anything you look for, any features, like the teeth, the legs,
the
tail?
like a big strong head, you want to be straight, good mover. Good limbs,
right.
And maybe a bit plain. Like if they're too pretty, like they end up to be too small. So you want them for,
right. Okay.
You know, you want them for working. You know.
And the other thing is, if they're too pretty, don't put in the effort. Do you know that?
They might put in the effort, but they wouldn't be big. See, they have to be like you're looking for something to race at 30 miles an hour over 4 miles and jump 35, 40 fences and carry 550 kilos. So they have to be kind of a bit like myself, but a bit fitter. You know.
Yeah, I was just looking. I was looking back at the race there. So it averaged out around 29 miles an hour. The race.
Yeah.
That's fast, isn't it?
That's fast. Yeah. That's some speed, and the fence is coming up again. These jockeys are great people, you know.
Yeah, amazing people.
Up.
Yeah. So you were watching. You were watching it there, and you're investing in it now because this is a horse that's gone through your process, your system, and you've skin in the game, so to speak. And of course, Rachel's a local girl as well, so it's. You know, it's a big day for you.
Oh, it's unbelievable, yeah.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Have you watched it back? Have you watched the video back?
Yeah, I have.
We'll just play it for people who haven't seen it. And you know, we'll...
Well, you're talking the video of the race now, or the video of me?
No, the video of you. The video of you.
Oh, no, I don't. I'm not into looking back at me. No.
Well, listen, cover your ears there. Cover your ears there, John, because here you are. In stereo. I think she could hear you. I think she could hear me.
It's unbelievable, like to bring him so far and have so many of them and to get that it's an unbelievable. You know, I mean, anybody with an animal, like you're attached to stock when you have stock, and that's what it means. That's what it means to you. You know, that's what animals, horses, or any animal means to you when you rear them and you produce them.
But John, that's something that you will live off. You know, in your head for so long. You know, if you're having a down day, you'll be going, I'm the man that bought the horse and trained the horse that went on to win the Grand National. Not only win the Grand National, but create history because Rachel was on its back. Like, it's big time.
Yeah, but look, we're having a down time at the moment with the business, and for some lift to get to have that and to have the Gold Cup as well the same year, to buy two foals at the same day and one of them win the Grand National, one of them win the Gold Cup.
It's mad.
Unbelievable. It's mad.
Listen,
mad,
I want to talk to you about the hotel in a minute, but I was listening to that today, right? And I thought when you went falsetto on it, you were nearly musical. You know, when you went falsetto. So I just did a little thing at home today. Just have a listen, see what you think. I know Jack, your 16-year-old, is going to love this, right? Because Here we go. Right. This is the intro. Saddle up, saddle up. Here we go.
Go on, Norris! Go, 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 go on! Go on! Go on, Norris! Go on, Norris! Go on, Norris! Go, 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 go on! Go on! Go on! Go on, hey!
Here we go! And it goes on and on. We'll see.
I don't think Louis Welsh should be. What about Arthur? Louis Welsh won't be looking for me anyway. Louis Welsh won't want me anyway.
I tell you what, you're in tune. You're shouting in the key of G. And the song is in the key of G as well. So there you go. We're going to make the CD of that for you and send it down to you.
Don't make too many copies of
it. To be in demand now, John. It's good. No, you're still going. The last bit. We'll save it for the last bit. Here we go. I think we've a hit in our hands. No, on serious matters, though, the hotel. So you've been closed. You opened for a little bit last summer, did you?
Yeah, we were open from June until November, and we were closed then in end of October, and then we were open for Christmas for a few weeks. And that was it.
Right.
But our business was, our weddings are gone, all our corporate travel are gone. So we were open just doing food, really, and that was it, you know.
Yeah, yeah. I'd imagine you have to go in and keep things, turn on and off lights and make sure the heating's on and there's no burst pipes and all that.
Yeah, we have a few people every day. We do a little bit of takeaway stuff.
Oh, do you? Right,
bit,
okay, yeah.
Just a little
yeah,
bit, just keep a bit of life and you answer the phones. But like you sit here in the evening like at 8 or 9 o'clock and it gets dark and you're there on your own, like, you know, and you just scratch your head. You wonder, where's this going to end up, you know? I mean, you just get scared, you know?
Yeah, I can see why the win was so important to you then.
Oh, yeah, unbelievable. That's why all this sport is so important to people lifting, because people are, like, there's but probably 60% of the people not affected at all by this, and the other 40% are just wiped out. And that's why the sport is so important to lift it.
Do you know Rachel well and her family?
I do. Yeah, yeah. I buy the fee. Well, the mother and father had a wedding in Manila in the hotel.
Oh, did they? Right.
Rachel went to school in the Royal Academy just down the road, and I buy the horse feed off Charles, off her father. So just We know them all well.
It'll be a great day when she's out of quarantine and she can come
home. Oh yeah, when they get and it's a mighty result for Irish Pint of Pints, like, to have the two horses that Pint of Pinted, like, and Pint of Pinted is back up going again, and like anybody wants to go and see champions running and their babies or young jockeys, young Rachels, bring your kids onto a Pint of Pinted when it gets open again every Sunday for a tenner, you can bring a carload of them and look back and you'll say, I saw the Grand National winner run 4 years ago. You know?
And John, before I let you go, what is it about Henry de Bromhead? What? Obviously, you have the skill of spotting them in the rough, and then you bring them to a certain stage, and then he fine-tunes them and makes them world beaters.
He's producing the goods. He has the training ability. He's like, his horses jump and gallop and they look fantastic, and he's just having an unbelievable time, and he's just an unbelievable trainer. He's just going from strength to strength.
Yeah.
Attention to detail and care of the stock is unbelievable with him, you know.
Listen, John, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Enjoy the lovely glow that the Grand National win has created around Tipperary and indeed around the whole country.
It's unbelievable, and like to do it for the McManuses and the year, you know, to going back so far for years, like, and it meant so much to them. Like, it's unreal, you know.
And they've had a tough time of it as a family.
That meant more, that was the icing on the cake to do it for JP and Noreen. Like, you know, it was unbelievable. But it's just something that my father and mother, not mercy them, they gave all their life for that horse, and that, you know, I mean, I went to the graveyard on Friday night to make sure the boss wasn't gone to town, you know. There could be a resurrection down here after this, you know. it's just unbelievable stuff, you know. It's just what you give your life to. You're looking at stock every day and you're feeding them 365 days of the year and you're looking after them and you're going to, you'd be like Joe Dolan, well, it's you, which one is it next time? Like, you know, which one, you know, and hopefully we had a winner on Saturday at the Pint-to-Pint. Like, it's amazing. Like, I had a sick horse on Friday night and he was touch and go, you know, and on Saturday morning when I was going out, I said, like, what are we going to be facing here, you know?
Yeah.
And when I went out, my nephew was with me, and went out, and I saw your man was all right. I said, today's going to be a good day. So we had a winner, and we won the national. So it was a great day, you know. So it was like,
John,
like
mind yourself, come down and see us.
I'll bring down a few people, and if anybody wants stock, I'll go for a staycation. Like, we've a horse to run in a couple of weeks now, Manila staycation. So we have to get the show on the road for the staycation to get people.
John Nolan, you're some man for one man. Good luck. See you. Mind yourself. See you. Bye. 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 Bye.
On RTE Radio 1. Text 51551. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now, we spotted a beautiful tweet from Kerry Hospice where they were presented with a cheque for €106,000 from a calf sale at Listowel Mart. The money was raised from the sale of over 300 calves that were donated from people all over the country. And it was done in the memory of John McGrath, who passed away from cancer earlier this year. The whole initiative was the brainchild of John's fiancée, Erin Stack, and Erin is on the line now. How are you doing, Erin?
Hi, Ray. How are you?
Yeah, firstly, commiserations on the death of John.
Thank you very much.
So it was January?
Yes. Yeah, actually, 11 weeks tomorrow we lost John.
Right.
And
it was the long goodbye for you, which I said, well, I've had this chat so many times with people, you know, if somebody you love is going to die, do you want them to go in their sleep or do you want them to have something terminal like John did and get a chance to, you know, say goodbye?
Yeah. Do you know what? We were actually blessed that COVID came in.
Go on.
Because we got so much time together.
Right, yeah.
It was absolutely fantastic. Like, we had 13 months of, we have so many great memories that we got to make, and it was all because of COVID. We got to spend more time with family and friends that were, obviously we kept our distance,
yeah.
But if it wasn't, you can, like, John McGrath was such a popular man.
This goes to show. How did you meet him?
I actually met him on a booze cruise.
Where?
So it all started, we went on a bus, we travelled around North Kerry,
yeah.
And we had great crack, and everyone knew about John McGrath, and it all blossomed from there. So that was the 1st of December 2013, yeah, that's when it all kicked off.
And he was 10 years your senior?
He was, yeah. Yeah, but John used to always say, you're only as old as the woman you're feeling. That was John. That was John's saying, so... Age is only a number.
I'm getting a sense of this man already.
Oh, unbelievable. You've no idea. A lovable rogue is what he was.
Yeah. And you had the crack together too. And both of you are from farming backgrounds.
Yeah. So John was a dairy farmer. He was working at home with his brothers, Michal and Kieran, on the home farm. And then my father was farming beef cattle in Athy in County Limerick. So.
Right.
We both had similarities that way.
Yeah. And when did he suspect there was something wrong?
So in December 2019, the start of December, we went on our first holiday together to New York. And by the end of it, John was actually struggling to eat scrambled egg and milk wasn't going down.
Right.
So he had spoken to my sister Aileen and said, I think I'm in trouble, but never said anything to me. So... when we came home, my mom got in touch with a few people and he was ordered for a gastroscopy in Tralee. So once he had that done, then we were told by the end of December that the tumour had shown. But we weren't sure at that time whether it was cancerous or not. And yeah, from there really at all.
And when did you get the horrific news that it was terminal?
Yeah, so the day all our lives shattered was the 16th of January 2020. He was told he was terminal and he had 6 to 18 months.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
And had he proposed to you at that stage?
He actually proposed in August. John always said if he ever got news that he was in remission, the ring would always come. So the news, thanks be to God, he had a fantastic team in Tralee. He was given the news that he was in remission. Right. And I was actually talking to his cousin, and I said, Mike, you know what John said, if he was in remission, what was going to come? And John kept saying, no, I don't remember that conversation. We were all laughing. So eventually, a Friday evening, John McGrath was walking around the house, and he dropped on one knee, and he said his knee just gave way, but it was the happiest day of our lives. It was absolutely amazing.
Now, was that August 2020?
August 2020, yeah.
Right, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it looked like he was all was going to be okay at that stage.
Do you know, he was like a miracle man, Ray. Like he when he hit remission, like John had his ups and his downs. Like the cancer, the esophageal, it was so silent. But with the team in Tralee, they always, like, John went into palliative care 6 times in total, and every time he went in, he came out a different man.
Right.
So when he had proposed, like, we thought, you know, we're doing really good here. He's in remission already. He's only diagnosed in January. This is August. And, you know, something good might come out of this.
Yeah.
So then we had planned our big day for the 11th of December 2020. And we had everything ready to go. And then John got the call that he was actually starting his radium treatment that week. So we said we'd postpone the wedding, and we both have big families, and John has a lot of close friends, and so do I. So we said we'd love to have a few people, and at that time the wedding had gone back down to 6.
Yeah.
So we said we'd hold off till we got to 25, but unfortunately it wasn't meant to be.
And through all of this, he was fundraising himself for the hospice.
He was. So his friends, Dennis Kennelly and Stephen Dunnigan, they had came up with the idea of their own little fundraiser. It was a soccer match between two local teams, Newtown Athletic and Leinamore Rovers, who John had played with.
Right. And how much did they raise?
They raised 50,000.
Okay.
Yeah.
When John died then in January, you decided that you were going to keep the fundraising going. So how did you come up with the idea of a sort of a calf sale?
Yeah, so John had always said he wanted to give another 40 or 50,000.
Right.
Of the care he had got. So then I had said myself that I'd rear my own 10 calves, and then my father had said, when you're selling them, give what they make to palliative care.
Great.
So I said, that's a great idea. Then I spoke to John's brother, and his brother Kieran said they had done something very similar for Boher a few years back. Richard Hartnett, an ex-Castle Island manager, had came up with this idea. So when word got out what I was thinking of doing, farmers had actually offered me calves, and I said, where am I going to put all these? So that's when it really took off. So we advertised it, and the calves were coming from all over the country. It was absolutely amazing, the feedback and the response we got.
And then
it was fantastic.
When was the sale on then in Listowel Mart?
So the sale was the 24th of March.
Right. And you raised 106,000 euro.
106,000 euro, yeah. That was from...
You must have been blown away, were you?
You'd be speechless.
Mm.
Overwhelmed, the emotion. Like, it was just absolutely fantastic. Never in our wildest dreams would we have thought we'd raise this much. We always said, look, if we could get 10 or 20,000, we'd be absolutely delighted. But to present the Kerry Hospice and Dr. Patricia Sheehan... We did our presentation last Friday with a cheque of 106,000. It was absolutely amazing. It helps you with the grief just to be able to give back. And I know John McGrath is a very proud man.
They do amazing work, don't they, people in palliative care?
Oh my God. We're just so blessed to have such a fantastic facility on our doorstep.
Mm. How are you now?
You know, it's not easy, Ray. Like, day by day is all I can do, but I know he's with me every step of the way, and he, like John said, you have to keep going, Aaron, and I'm going to be with you the whole time, and he definitely is.
Yeah.
He definitely is, and the support network I have around me, like my family, John's family, friends, it's amazing. It's so important.
And Aaron, you know, because it was the long goodbye, although he did go into remission a few times, you must have had the chat about when he was gone.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And how did that chat go?
Do you know, the day he was given the bad news, I was actually John's cousin, his wife, Betty Ahern, Mike's wife, Betty, was like our Patricia Sheehan at home. We were so lucky to have her. And that day, Patricia Sheehan came into the room and said, John, I'm so sorry. whatever I'm hitting this with, it's not working, the cancer's taken over. And I sat there and a strength came over me and I just said, oh my God. And John sat with Betty and he said, Erin's not getting this. She doesn't understand how serious it is. And Betty said, she is, John, but we had the chat, Ray, but you're never ready for the day.
No, you're never.
No matter what, you can do so much talking. Like, I cry and cry and cry, and John would be like, come on, talk about it. Like, John would support all of us through his illness.
Yeah, you often hear that, don't you? That the strongest person is the person who has the cancer.
Yeah. And he really showed that. We were so blessed. Like, every single one of us, John never, he would never hold back. He'd talk. If anybody wanted to talk or ask him questions, John McGrath was the man to talk to because he had no problem. He right. would hide away from nothing.
Well, as you say, he'd be very proud of you and everybody involved. Yeah. And €106,000 is an amazing amount of money to raise for the Kerry Hospice.
And we're lucky for the Stole Mart as well, Barney O'Connell and all them to help us out. It was fantastic. And actually, the girls in palliative care bought their own calves. So Katie, the calf, has belonged to the Kerry Hospice. It's really, so it's brilliant. We had a great time. So it's fantastic.
What to do with it now, I don't know. Anyway, Erin, yeah. mind yourself.
Thank you very much.
And make sure you have loads of people around you because it's a
Absolutely.
Tough time.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Thank you very
bye
much.
Bye now.
Ray.
Bye, Erin. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Tweet at Radio Ray RTE. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Conor Pope, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to you, Ray D'Arcy. How are you?
Good. I'm reading your piece in the Irish Times today, and it's you could have written this. You know, you could have done the research, but I'm saying you did write it, but you could have done the research.
Yeah. Yeah. yeah.
Because it's
a company.
Go on.
Sorry, go on. I interrupted you there.
No, no, you go ahead. Sorry, there's a delay. You go ahead, Conor. Go ahead now.
Okay, there's a company called the CX Company, and what they do is they carry out this piece of research every year, and they publish the top 150 companies in Ireland in terms of a customer experience. And like a lot of the companies that are at the top of the list are like the likes of the credit unions, On Post, Specsavers did well this year, and a lot of the supermarkets did well. But then right down at the very bottom were the companies, and there's no surprises to tell you, your listeners will not be surprised if I say that Ryanair was deemed to be the worst offender when it came to customer experience, and Air were deemed to be the second worst offender. But what was interesting was how the people in the CX company kind of evaluate how customer service is evolving. And it's exactly as you were saying, Ray, the stuff that we've been talking about on the show for such a long time. It's all about forgetting the human touch, forgetting about a bit of cop on and common sense, and forgetting to actually listen to and then resolve the problems that the people who contact you have. And as the CX company, the people behind it, a woman called Kathy Summers said to me, companies should actually care about the complaints that they get, because that's really good feedback and it allows you to learn from the mistakes that you make and improve what you're doing. But if companies just disregard the complaints or treat them as an absolute nuisance or just ignore them entirely, as a lot of companies seem to do, well then, you know, they're not learning anything, but worse than that, they're actually getting worse. So I thought it was a really good idea to shine a light on this, because maybe some companies will listen and say, do you know what, we should care about our customer experience a bit more.
I'm going to give the top 10. You've mentioned some of them already, but just it's fair enough to praise people where praise is deserved. Yeah. So at number 10, Dunnes Retail. At number 9, Lidl. At number 8, FBD. M&S is at number 7. Macaulay Pharmacies at number 6. All Care Pharmacies at number 5. Specsavers at number 4. On Post is at number 3. Shaw's almost nationwide at number 2. And Irish Credit Unions, the top slot. And that's the same as last year for the Irish credit unions.
So you could tell now, Ray D'Arcy, that you're a DJ for DJ.
I fluffed there a bit. it's my first day back. So I'm not in talking gear yet. Okay, so this came in. This isn't about customer service. I think it's more about a scam. So this came in to pricewatch@rte.ie. Dear Conor, I received a call from a business like US accented lady telling me that my Amazon Prime account would be billed for an additional $79.99 unless I pressed digit 1 to speak to a rep. I did not press the button but noted the call number and subsequently rang it back. It started with 0027. I did not have sufficient credit for this call, but I wonder if you have any idea who or what was behind the call, and was it a scam?
Well, I have every idea what was behind the call, and it's actually really clever and it's really insidious because of its cleverness. Now, a lot of your listeners will be familiar with the what's known as a Wangari fraud. And that's when you get this mysterious call, a missed call onto your mobile phone that starts off with maybe 0028 or 0021 or whatever it might be. And then, you know, you think, oh, I don't know anyone in Cork. And then you ring them back and it turns out that you're not ringing Cork, you're ringing Lesotho, and it racks up a premium rate phone call bill. And that's scam. So when I got this mail, I thought it was a bit like that. So I did a bit of research, and it's actually worse than that.
Right.
Now, and it's a scam that's doing the rounds now, and people might get the call. And I just wanted to flag it so that people would be alert to it. So what happens is you get the call and you get a message, and it's from a well-spoken person. It could have an American accent, could have an English accent. I haven't heard of any with an Irish accent. And they say, you know, you need to, you know, this is Amazon Prime. We're going to bill you for $79.99 or whatever it might be. Press 1 to talk to a customer service rep. So imagine you have an Amazon Prime account and you've already paid your bill or whatever it might be. You then press the number 1 and you're automatically connected to somebody on the other end of the phone who is claiming to be from Amazon. And they talk you through the processes. Now, not everybody has an Amazon Prime account, obviously, but hundreds of thousands of people have them. So they just need to get lucky every now and then.
Yes.
And then what they do is they say, oh no, we've billed you for the $79.99 in error. So can you give us your credit card details or your bank account details? And we will refund you the money. And because it sounds so plausible, and because maybe you do have an Amazon Prime account, you innocently give them your credit card details. And of course, once you've given them the credit card details, your financial security has been compromised and they make off with your money. And there are people, and this is not just happening in Ireland, it's a scam that's happening in the UK, it's happening in the United States. And people are being defrauded of thousands and thousands of euros. And the really terrible thing is it's incredibly difficult to get the money back, and it's incredibly difficult to police, because, you know, the Irish guards are very up, you know, they're very up to speed on these scams and they know what's happening and they do their level best to warn people about them. But once the money is gone, and once the money is gone to somewhere like, and in this instance the number that our listener sent in, it was actually it's the South African country code. So once the money goes to a PayPal account or wherever it might be in South Africa, and then it's transferred to another account somewhere else, it's virtually impossible to trace. And as a result, people are losing money. This is not the kind of scam that people will be familiar with, where the mysterious number comes up, and when you call it back, as I say, you get through to a premium rate number.
So that's there's a real person at the other end of the line. Connor, there's a real person at the other end of the line, right?
Exactly. And that, now, the way it works is, and the way they can do this so successfully is, there's it's an automated message that you get. So it's like, hello, this is Amazon Prime. We're going to bill you $79.99. Press 1 to speak to a customer service rep. So that's automated. So they just flood phone networks all over the world with that message. And then when you press the number 1, you're calling the actual number, you're calling a call centre, wherever it might be. And it's at that point you're starting to speak to a real person. Now, Amazon are aware of this, and they're very, very clear that they are never, ever going to contact you over the phone like this to alert you to a problem. Okay? So if you ever get a phone call from Amazon or from any company looking for financial details or alerting you to a problem, never, ever give them the information, because there's so many scam artists out there, and as I say, they are constantly coming up with new tweaks on existing scams or entirely new scams, and that's how people get defrauded. So this is the most recent one I've come across, and as I say, because it differs slightly from some of the other ones that people might be familiar with, it's definitely worth flagging amongst your listeners.
Patrick has been on. I'm that soldier, Ray, and they nearly caught me. They're so good. So the advice from Connor is pretty straightforward. Never give your credit card or your bank details to anybody over the phone.
Absolutely. And particularly if you get an unsolicited call or an unsolicited text or an unsolicited email or whatever it might be. That's not how any big organisation, or indeed any small organisation, does business. But as I say, because it's new, it's going to catch people out.
Okay.
And the idea is that the more we spread the word, the less people will be caught out. And then the scam artists will go away and they'll come up with a new wheeze to try and rip us off. And you know what? It's so simple to happen. Like, I nearly got ripped off myself not long ago because I got an email alert saying there was something wrong with my Netflix account. And I was like, oh no, maybe my credit card has expired or something. I can't remember what it was. But I did know that, oh, I have a Netflix account. So without thinking, I clicked the button. And then I was just like, hold on a second. What have I been telling the listeners of the Ray Darcy Show for the last 15 years? Don't ever do this. So maybe not do it. But like, it's just like,
do what I say, not what I do.
Particularly when they're talking about small amounts.
I got the call about Amazon Prime. They asked me to download an app that will give them control of my phone. So that's obviously a similar one as well. So just be on your guard.
That's actually even worse, because what they do there, Ray.
Yeah.
Is they'll have access to your online banking, and sure, then they can do the worst.
Right, okay. Thanks, Connor. Pricewatch@rte.ie, and we'll speak to Connor next week. Sorry about that line; there was a bit of a delay there. Anish Doshi and I'm the Priebskelton in Oakley. Lamora Breed ni Coolon. Grandma, good morning, Bree. Thank you very much. 51551 ray@rte.ie. A few texts that we didn't get in the last hour. On Aaron, just a quick text from the Kerry Hospice Foundation. We are so proud and grateful to Aaron and all involved with this wonderful event. Aaron is an amazing, amazing lady. John also raised 50,000 for the foundation last year too. We are blown away by the huge generosity here in Kerry. Thank you, Aaron, the McGraths and all the family and friends and all who supported this fantastic event in any way. And not surprised that somebody else, John, fell in love with her. She's wonderful. Great personality. What a lovely legacy for her beloved John. And on the birthdays and the coincidences, my father-in-law's birthday was on St. Patrick's Day. Our son was born on St. Patrick's Day. My mother-in-law died on St. Patrick's Day, our son's first birthday. Also, our twin granddaughters were born on St. Patrick's Day. It's a big day in our house. I'd say it is. Any of them called Patrick? And Michael says, listen to this one. Live in France, listening in to RT Radio 1. My son Tim was born in Paris at 11 minutes to 11 on the 11th of the 11th in room 11. Go on. He has 11 tattooed on his hip. Now, a numerologist would love that, Michael. I don't know what they'd say, but they'd love it. 51551 RT.ie. That one there, yep. It's time for our quiz of today. 12th of April. 10 questions on events that happened on this day over the years and a prize from the Dylan. A 5-star luxury boutique hotel. Magical place where guests can relax in the plush stylish surrounds of the Ruby Room. And the prize is an overnight stay for two people in a luxury double room. Dylan.ie for more information. On the line we have Claire O'Donovan in Dundrum. How are you doing, Claire?
Hi, Ray. I'm good. How are you doing?
Now, you have a history with the Dylan Hotel.
I do. I actually had my wedding reception there 10 years ago this October. Yeah.
Right.
So when I heard you mention the Dylan, I had to try.
So you might get back to, you know, recreate something.
I would love to, I have to say. It's such a beautiful hotel. It's actually just gorgeous.
Yeah. And what's your story now? So 10 years on.
Well, we're still together. That's the good news.
Yay!
But together but apart, my husband actually started a new job in January based out of the Ukraine. He's currently in Kenya, and both countries have gone on the list as of Saturday.
Oh,
so
God.
His plans to get home this month have completely gone out the window.
Oh,
unfortunately,
no.
Yeah. So,
and you've two girls.
I've two girls. Yeah, Isla's 11, Sienna is 3,
right.
And we've only seen Connor for 2 weeks this year so far. He came home in February, isolated for 2 weeks, and then went back.
But
he was isolating with us, so that was the main thing.
Yeah, and are you FaceTiming them and Zooming them and
all the time, and you know, everything is through WhatsApp, so
yeah.
It's just all, you know, on Wi-Fi and everything, which is great. We don't have massive phone bills or anything, but yeah, Skype and WhatsApp to try and stay in touch every day.
So when did you say he started the job?
In January.
Oh, in January, right. So he was sort of aware that things could change, you know, very quickly with, you know, the pandemic.
He wasn't expecting the quarantine thing, though.
No, there you go.
I mean, the hotel situation, that wasn't really on our radar at all as something that could happen.
Yeah.
Because we thought we were through the worst last year, obviously, with everything coming into January. I guess we were all living in hope things are going to get easier straight away, but that's obviously not how things have worked out.
As we know now, it didn't work out like that at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah. How are you on the quiz questions? How are you on general knowledge?
Normally I'm okay, but live on radio, that remains to be seen.
It's different. It's different when you're live. You're up against Ebony Lee in Wexford. How are you doing, Ebony?
I'm doing great, Ray. Hello, how are you?
It says Dunmore East on the phone thing, and it says Wexford on the piece of paper. So which?
Oh, I'm near Ross now. County
you're
Wexford
near Ross.
Side.
Oh yes, sorry, you're near Ross. I have to get down there and cross that new bridge. I'm so looking forward to crossing that bridge. It's supposed to be spectacular.
It's brilliant. It's so handy, right? I have family down in Dunmore East and in Waterford City, and it's brilliant going over and back. It makes some difference, though, it does.
How long would it take off the journey now?
It depends where you're going. If you're going into New Ross, like, there's no point in using it. It's just, you know, but when you're going down, it depends on whether you're going out, like, the Ross Lair Road or whether you're going to Wexford Town. But, oh, God, you're definitely taking at least 20 minutes off.
Ah, yeah, that's great, isn't it?
Yeah, that's great.
What's your story?
Day off today. I had a dentist this morning. I was nearly going to cancel. I hate the dentist, right? And it was okay. I had two fillings and I had a bit of clean up, so it wasn't too bad.
I hate the fillings.
Do you know what I do? Because I'm always. I just have a nerve thing in case they hit off anything.
Yes.
I just have that nervous sensation going in, and I'd be shaking so much. My two
legs. You were fine with it, were you?
Absolutely. Afterwards, like, it's grand. It's just a numb feeling. I actually have a cousin, and she doesn't like anaesthetics, so she goes to the dentist without it.
Right.
Yeah, she does.
That's very,
very
brave, isn't it? Very brave.
Yes, I couldn't.
Who's at home with you?
My daughter, Lauren. She's 19, and she's in college, her first year at the moment. So
she didn't get to see much of college, did she?
No, she's been doing online because she's doing religion, Irish and Spanish.
Whereabouts?
In Waterford, in WIT.
Okay. And I believe you're making cake.
Oh, for my sins. I've just made a coffee cake. I have the buttercream half made. So my dad's calling this evening. And I said, here goes. I'm making a coffee cake. Right. After having two fillings, it's ironic, isn't it?
To celebrate you can now go 20 kilometres as opposed to 5 kilometres. It is, like, there's a lot of hope around. I was delighted to see that they used the word hope on the cover of The Independent today, because there is hope, you know, and the summer's coming.
It does feel like that.
It
absolutely.
There was a bit of normality this morning. I just felt that when I was out and about. Okay, right. Five questions each. Claire and Ebony, whoever answers most correctly gets the prize. If we have a draw, we go to tiebreaker. Ebony, if you say good luck to Claire, Claire, say good luck to Ebony.
Claire, good luck to you now. Thank you.
There you go. And here we go. Right, Claire, first question for you. On this day in 1859, the Hibernia Savings and Loan Society of San Francisco first opened. What we want to know is, in which US state would you find San Francisco?
California.
Correct answer. Ebony, on this day in 1965, the first baseball game took place at Houston's new Astrodome. In which US state would you find Houston?
I think it's maybe Texas.
Is the correct answer. Great. Claire, your second question is an audio one. Have a listen to this. You know we belong together. You and I forever and ever. No matter where. On this day in 1974, Belinda Emmett, Australian actress, was born in New South Wales. She played the part of Rebecca Fisher in that soap. Can you name it?
Home and Away.
Correct answer. For you, Ebony, have a listen to this. On this day in 1979, Paul Nichols, English actor, was born in Bolton, England. He played the part of Joe Wicks in that soap. Can you name it?
Oh, EastEnders. I kind of had a bit of a soft spot for him, right?
Oh, did you?
I used to, yeah. Imagine it.
And then you'd be just there, your eyes meet across a crowded room. And then he takes you into a lovely, strong embrace. And you're just about to kiss and...
Oh, thanks for that, right?
Oh, sorry, I had to do that. Okay, two all, well done. Question number three, on this day in 1946, this is for you, Claire, Syria gained independence from France. The flag of Syria features two stars. What colour are the stars, black or green?
God, going to have to be a guess. Black.
No, green. Okay. Ebony, similar question for you. On this day in 2002, Pedro Carmona became interim president of Venezuela during the military coup against Hugo Chavez. The flag of Venezuela features an arc of eight stars. What colour are they? Red or white?
White.
It's the correct answer, said with confidence. Yes. Okay, so yeah. 3-2. Question number 4 for you, Claire, is another audio one. Have a listen to this. You gotta speed it up, and then you gotta slow. That song, Making Your Mind Up, was number one on this day in 1981. Can you name the group?
Bucks Fizz.
Bucks Fizz, correct answer. And for you, Ebony, have a listen to this. Have a listen to this. That song, Let's Dance, was number one on this day in 1983. Can you name the singer?
David Bowie.
Correct answer. Okay, 4-3. Claire, you have to get this one right to be in with a chance and hope that Ebony doesn't get her final question correct. Good luck with this. We're still on pop music. Brian McFadden, singer-songwriter, TV presenter and former member of Westlife, was born on this day in Dublin. But in which year? Was it 1980, 1983 or 1986? Brian McFadden.
Oh. 1983.
No, it was 1980. Oh. He's 41 today. Happy birthday, Brian, if you listen. Sorry about that, Claire.
That's okay.
Yeah, we'll send you out
congrats,
a Ray Darcy Show mug.
Thank you very much.
Okay, and mind yourself and the two girls. Okay, see you. Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. That's
Claire there in Dundrum. Ebony.
All right, thank you so much. Fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well done. You're off to the Dillon Hotel when all this is over. So enjoy it.
Oh, please God, when will it be? Is the thing, but sure, look.
I, you know, if I was a betting man, I'd say you could be there if there's room by the end of July. But let's,
end of July, maybe.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
My daughter is dying to go to Dublin for some food. Would you believe that?
Would you not feed her, for God's sake? No, yeah, I can understand
something
that.
Something nice. Yeah,
something nice. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you can treat her. You can treat her. Yourself and Lauren can have a lovely girls'
just week. The people watching Dundrum would be lovely.
That's lovely. Yeah. Okay, Ebony.
Please,
mind yourself. Good luck with the coffee cake. See you. Bye, bye, bye.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. Email ray@rte.ie. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So half the country watched Reeling in the Ears last night, back after a 10-year gap. Well, it wasn't really a 10-year gap because they were showing repeats non-stop. 515,000. That's 49.2% of the people who were watching television last night at 8:30 watched Reeling in the Ears. Hey! Steely Dan, Reeling in the Ears. Some people were saying that it's too recent. It's too painful to watch things that happened 10 years ago when we gave ourselves up to the International Monetary Fund. Anyway, with restrictions easing gradually, we're all beginning to think about travelling around Ireland. We'll be staycationing. The Buggins family from Galway love nothing more than hitting the road in their camper van. And they've come up with a book of recipes and playlists for your next trip in your camper van or with your tent or on a boat or wherever. Malachy, whose name is Duggan and not Buggan, we'll have to find out what that's all about, joins us now to tell us more about camping soul food. How are you doing, Malachy?
Hey, Ray, how are you? Thanks a million for having us on.
You're very welcome. So, your name is Duggan, but the cover of the book says The Buggins Family.
So, well, the book, it was a family project. So, we are the Buggins family. My surname is Duggan, and my wife's name, Carrie, surname is Buds. And many years ago when we met, right. It was around the time of Brangelina and stuff like that.
Yes,
so,
yes.
Our friend Liz christened us The Buggins, and it has kind of stuck as Carrie's nickname since.
That'd be a thing. Maybe that'll take off. You know, I'm just trying, that you know, because you know, with equality and all that sort of thing, like a woman taking a man's name is old hat, I think. You know,
in a lot of ways.
We're not going to get into that debate.
But,
if you combine the two names to give you something, so that you got Buggan, what would mine be? Mine would be Delhi. Or Carsey.
It was a family thing to do, like to write the book as well. So we decided it had to be the Buggins family.
Okay, you have recipes and you have those little things that you shine that you put your camera to.
QR codes.
What are they called?
QR codes.
Yes, and they bring you to all sorts of soul music.
Yeah, so, well, actually, I have to tell you first that our daughter, Iski, the first question she always gets asked when someone meets her is, Iski, that's a gorgeous name. Where'd you get the name?
Right.
And We actually got the name 4 years before she was born when you were interviewed in Iski Britain. We'd done a lot of camping in Lahinch and Strandhill, and Carrie had started surfing. Right. So you were talking to Iski Britain, and we thought that's a gorgeous name, and we're very impressed with Iski as well. So 4 years later, we had our own Iski. So
that lovely story.
Yeah, because
Iski is an amazing surfer, isn't it? Iski Britain.
Oh, she's an amazing surfer, an amazing person as well.
Yeah,
she's great.
Have you met her?
We've been very lucky to meet her since a couple of times. So Iski's met Iski. So
that's great.
So hopefully now this will be on National Airways, Iski won't have to repeat that story every time.
And have you been to Iski as well?
We have, of course, been to Iski, yeah.
Yeah, because that's great surfing land up there. Maybe that's why Iski got her. I think that's why the original Iski got her name.
Iski was named after her grandfather.
We better talk about your book, Malachy, because we don't have much time. So it's recipes that are suitable when you're in a camper van or off camping. And
it's three things. It's camping soul food. So it's camping, it's soul music, and it's food. And it's... The camping is kind of hacks, things that we've just picked up over the last 5 years or in the van, and the last 15 years camping around the country. We would have always written kind of little notes to our future selves going, next time you're going camping, you don't need to bring this. Or next time you're going camping, bring this. And we would have kept them like in little pieces of paper in the van or on our phones and taken photos. And we always talked about writing, like, you know, after a while it's like, okay, we've lads here, we should write a book. And we always thought that, you know, when we went on our 2 weeks travel up and down the country, we'd write the book, but, you know, like notions of that go out the window as soon as the awning comes out and the kayak comes out and the hammock goes up. It's like holiday mode. We're not writing a book now.
Yeah.
So last year when the world stopped turning, this time last year, we were out for a 2K walk and we said, right, come on, this is the time to do it. So we put together a kind of little ebook for our friends just to share it around. That got a lovely reaction. So we said we'd give it have a right go at it.
Yeah. So the one that I have now is hot off the presses.
You have got the very... We haven't even seen it ourselves yet. You have got the very, very first book.
I can tell you, Malachy, I think you'll be very proud of it.
We are very proud of it.
It's a lovely little book. It's not your standard recipe book size. It's more like a journal size. Would that be the rest?
It's kind of the is, like, you know, it's for camping. You don't have that much space. I mean, with the recipes,
it's half A4.
You don't have much prep. So we didn't want to make the book a big bulky book to just carry around, something that you'd fit in a backpack or something like that.
There's some great hacks there. If your cooler box or electric fridge gets a bit whiffy, porridge can come to the rescue. Place a bowl of dry porridge oats in the cooler fridge overnight. The oats will help absorb and eradicate any offensive odours. Never heard that before. That's brilliant.
It's just like when we started researching and writing the book and stuff we picked up, of course, some great friends who come camping with us, and they'd have picked up some advice as well, and they would have, you know, shared some tips with us too. So it's like we wrote the book, but it's so much of our pals, and to be able to work with so many amazing people as well as our book as well.
It looks and feels like a labour of love. Tell them about midges and how you get rid of the midges.
Oh, the midges. So that's with citrus fruit. If you're having citrus fruit, if you take out all the fruit and let it dry out a bit, there's a little, it kind of becomes a natural candle if you pour in some oil, like cooking oil. You can actually light the wick, and the smell of the citrus and the oil burning will hopefully keep away
the midges.
From mosquitoes. I love to come back to me.
I love this hack. You might not know this, it says in the book, but Doritos, while obviously delicious, also make for great kindling.
So that's one of those things.
It's all the oil in them, isn't it? I think it's all the oil.
If you don't have your fire lighters, you can't get your barbecue going, and just put on a pack of Doritos, put a match to the corner of it, and you get like enough 3 or 4 minutes of flame to catch. Yeah.
So you carry an Iski head off in your... That is yours, the Volkswagen, is it? The Volkswagen
camper van. Yeah, that's our. It's campy. We're not great at naming things.
And do you bring the little record player with you?
Yeah, so it's a portable little record player. So if you're going to a campsite, you can hook it up to... You'd hook up to the electrics there.
Yeah.
And, you know, you've got everything you need there in the campsite. Or if you're just going... Like, we would use the van for day trips as much as heading off. Like, you know, on a day trip, it's just so much easier to just, like, throw in the kayak, throw everything into the van. Whereas when you're going away for 2 weeks, it's like a pack in a submarine. You know, everything has its own place. So
I'm very jealous of your way of life, and I can just see it there. You pull in and you're there and you're making your salsa and your lovely burger with the sausages and the pesto on it, and then you take out the little record player and
my favourite, great choice, Rick.
See, and then I'd be all that, be great, and
yep.
I'd have a beer with you and the burger and everything, and then I go, thanks, Malachy. If you want to, you can ring reception in the morning if you want to go for a stroll. I'll be in the local hotel. Yeah, but go on.
No, it's just being able to put up places. I mean, like maybe 15 years ago, we would have always wanted a camper van. Like our wedding car was a camper van. Right. So that was 4 or 5 years before we got it. So it was probably to idea of going to electric picnic and festivals. But really now, like to have a camper van, just to be able to stop on the side of the road and make a cup of tea anywhere is, you know, that's kind of as...
It's freedom. It's freedom.
As good as it gets.
Camping, soul food, recipes and playlists. The Buggins family, highly recommend from here. Malachy, good luck with it. Lovely talking to you. Mind yourself. See ya. Bye, bye, bye.
Yeah, take care. Thanks so much.
That's it from us. Cormac and Sarah on the way. We are back tomorrow at 3 o'clock. Enjoy the rest of your Monday evening.
It's the Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.